The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
With us, we have today Tyler Shuck, NFL Draft Combine, right around the corner. Tyler, of course, at Hamilton High School, then went to, his journey went from committing to North Carolina, wanting to go to ASU. ASU wouldn't wake up. So he went to Oregon. Then he went from Oregon to Texas Tech. They went from Texas Tech to Louisville. And now he's going to be drafted in the NFL. He's married, older. There's been this whole knock against Tyler Shuck, but I think of the prospects that are coming into the combine next week, Tyler is probably the most intriguing at quarterback. So we will have Tyler Shuck with us, and then Paul Coro. Paul Coro, all things around GCU men's basketball and women's basketball. We've not talked with Paul, have not looked closely at GCU other than watch them from afar, and they look like a team that's trying to figure it out this year after winning a tournament game last season. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, as Desert Financial Credit Union, we appreciate their support. Today, we have USA against Canada tonight. And I am looking forward to this on the ice. It's the Four Nations. I know we don't talk much hockey since the Coyotes have left, but I think if ownership, and I believe that J.J. Watt and I believe Shane Doan are two guys are trying to work together to bring the NHL back to the Valley. I've said this many, many times. So if they had the right ownership group, and then I believe the Fiesta Mall area, and that there's some investors that are looking at doing that to build an arena, as well as Scottsdale, I think it's just a matter of time. I really do. I could be dead flat wrong, but I don't think I am. Jay Moynihan and Tiger Woods are at the White House today. And you're thinking, are they going to get eliminated too? Are they going to have their jobs reassigned? I don't know. Anybody showing up at the White House? But they met with Trump earlier this month about getting the getting all parties on the tour together, not just the PGA Tour, but also LIV Golf. And there's some questions and concerns about the PIF. And if you were to study this in depth, it would be, do you really trust the people overseas that you're wanting to bring into our country to play golf? That's what it is. Spring training day one is today. Dodgers meet the Cubs. And the Suns start their second half of the season, looking like they're heading nowhere as fast. But it is February 20th. Meaning, let's just see, things need to start waking up a little bit of the second half of the season, come out of the slumber. The naming of the arena was Footprint. It was taken down this past week. We have said here that we believe that it will be Matishbia's mortgage company, but I've also heard of a credit union that is interested in being involved. There could be a bidding deal going on. I don't know. Local credit union. Not Desert Financial. So there you go. Okay, Tyler Shuck is next, then Paul Coro. I'm Brad Sesmatt. As promised, Tyler Shuck with us for a few minutes. You know, it's interesting about Tyler. I can go back to a day where he was at Hamilton High School and he's trying to talk his way into a volleyball match and the people didn't let him in to see his brother play. And he's getting mad at them. It was a day where he decommitted from North Carolina and was all over the place. And he ended up at Oregon. He ended up at Texas Tech. And, of course, he went to Louisville. And now he's going to the NFL Combine. That's a journey, man. That is a journey. What has this been like for you?
I mean, it's honestly been a blessing and a half. You know, for me, it's been just everything I couldn't have imagined and more. I think you come into high school and college and you think it's going to go a certain way. And for a lot of people, it doesn't. And I think when you can come to that realization and make the most of your opportunity, I think, you know, that was the best thing for me, was being able to go through multiple situations and have, you know, a lot of coaches, a lot of different schools and schemes and screw up and fail and then get better and have success. And I think that's what, you know, you're going to go through in the NFL, and it kind of prepared me for that.
So I want to go back on Louisville. What did Louisville prepare you? What were you able to show, I guess, is the better question at Louisville that may have helped you for this coming week at the Combine?
Yeah, I think for me, just offensively wise, I feel like it complemented my skill set being in a more pro-style system. Just kind of having that scheme where I could have multiple checks at the line of scrimmage. I had complete control of the run game, the pass game. So there's a lot on my plate from that perspective. So it kind of equipped me with all those tools throughout this interview process, showing teams what I can do. And then obviously all the physical tools, you know, I feel like have been there and finally getting to show it and stay healthy. You know, that was the goal.
Tyler Shuck with us for a few minutes. He is getting ready for the NFL Combine. He will be there next week. Former Hamilton High School star quarterback with us as he gets ready for the next step in his journey. Are you surprised with the buzz around you? There was this narrative. I saw you last spring. The old man quarterback, like I'm expecting a gray beard and a cane to walk out on the field, you know? And now there's this, well, he's mature. He's already been through life stuff. That's going to be an advantage. Are you surprised with the buzz? I'm sure you've seen it or heard it.
I mean, I think teams are just realizing, as far as with the quarterback position, you want somebody that's going to be the same dude every single day, you know, that has a stable off the field life, that understands what it's going to take, that's been through, you know, multiple scenarios, just because, you know, like I said before, you know, stuff's going to happen in the NFL and you can't blink. And that transition process is shortening and shortening as you see guys like Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix and Michael Penix, guys who have been through a bunch of stuff in college and are having success right away. And the time for the, you know, the extremely talented but maybe a project quarterback, I don't think is as attractive to teams who are trying to win right away. And I think that's kind of the message I'm conveying, is that, you know, I've been battle tested mentally and physically. You know, I feel like I'm ready to come in and contribute right away, whether that's, you know, supporting a guy like Josh Allen and being the best backup in the room right there, or coming in and starting and contributing right away. So, you know, I feel like I add a lot of value to whatever situation I can be in.
You are joining us today from your workout facility, your workout crew, right?
Yeah, yes, sir. Yeah, it's kind of located in this Children's Health Hospital, and we have an Exos unit over here. So got to go work out pretty soon and get some running in, and then throw after.
You're in Dallas?
Yeah, yes, sir.
So the journey, what I like to do, Tyler, on this is take people through the – you just don't show up at Indianapolis and throw into the underwear Olympics. There's a whole lot of preparation that goes into it, not just physically but mentally, like interviews. You're walking into job interviews. So can you take the fans through that, of what you're going through in this prep time?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, every single day – I got treatment for an hour beforehand just to get my body ready. You know, we'll have the running where you're doing speed work, you know, agility work. Then after, you're going to meet and eat a little bit, you know, have the off the field meeting. So you're going to do interview prep. You're going to watch film. You're going to have plays ready to go. You're going to talk about what your strengths and weaknesses are. So just being ready for that. And then you're going to throw after that. And then you're going to have a lower body or upper body lift in the afternoon. And then you're going to have more recovery. And then interview prep at night, where you're talking with GMs and coaches, former ones or people that can hire and prepare you for this process. And then when you get to the combine or the Senior Bowl, you know, that's an all day, you know, whole week event where you're doing stuff from 6 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. You know, at the Senior Bowl, I was doing stuff till midnight talking with GMs. And then you got to get right back up in the morning and do it again. You know, so the interviews are, you know, 4 hours long. It's with multiple teams, you know, an hour each, where they're just grilling you the whole time, asking you about everything. So it's kind of a paradise for me and being a quarterback, just to kind of get that opportunity. So I'm definitely looking forward to it, to the next one.
Most random question you've been asked so far by NFL people?
I feel like they try to make you ask, like, or get you to answer badly in a way on a lot of certain things. But if you can kind of answer plainly, like, they'll ask you to pick your favorite family member or pick your favorite, you know, stuff like that, where it's like, you know, I don't really have one, but I think probably my favorite one right now would be my most immediate family member would be my wife. But it was like, I don't know if that, you know, there's stuff like that where it's like, they try and get you to slip up, or most of the time they're just interested in your background, but then they want to talk football stuff. So I've heard some crazier ones from other guys, but other than that, it's not too bad. It's just a lot of them.
When you leave the room, what do you think they say?
I think they think that I'm a pretty sharp guy who's been through a lot of stuff, that can handle that mental load, and that I look the part and I act the part, and I think it shows up on my film that I can go get it done.
Your 40 time, what is it today?
I'm not ready to disclose that yet. You'll have to watch an Indy March 1st. Hopefully it gets down a couple, hundredths or maybe even a tenth. That would be nice. Get some adrenaline.
Yeah, there's some people are like, why isn't he answering this? Because that is like, for some ungodly reason, that's a metric.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. They set it up. We got to go do it, but it'll be fun.
Could I come close to you right now if we were to race in a 40-yard dash?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I would hope so.
No, I've been training for like this for a while. I'm like 10% body fat right now, 220 something, and I've been trying to eat really good, and I'm ready to go kill it. And then after that, I might have a chicken sandwich or something.
You might splurge a little bit.
Yeah.
Before I get you out of here, what is your weakness? When they say, what are your strengths and weaknesses? The strength part, I think, is pretty simple. Mm-hmm. What are your weaknesses?
Yeah, I think for me, especially coming into this offense this past year, was working on that footwork, taking 7-step drops, taking 5-step drops from gun, and, not setting the pocket too deep. So understanding how to, maneuver that. And sometimes at times I got my feet in the wrong places and it would affect my read. But I think going through that process at Louisville instead of coming to the pros where it's a whole new playbook, I think that kind of shortened that transition time for me, being able to go through that language. So I think that was probably some of my weaknesses this past year, was kind of going through that as the season went, understanding how to time up certain drops of when to use it, because we had a lot of freedom with it. So overall, I think it kind of helped prepare me sure. to this point.
It's correctable. I mean, it's not something that needs, you're just in a different system. It's not even correctable.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the better way to look at it. All right. I have to know, does your wife, because you're married, no kids yet, right?
No kids.
No kids on the way. No nothing yet on that.
Nope. No, right? Nothing. Yeah.
Does she drill you and grill you and say, look, you cannot eat that chicken sandwich, or I am not making you this, dude? Does she?
Yeah, she's been a great help, honestly. Just, I mean, we're kind of on the same diet routine right now. We're having all the home cook, home prep meals. Exos will provide stuff for us, but no, she's been helping me out with the plays. She'll kind of regurgitate the plays to me. She'll call it out. She'll help me out with the interviews.
That's
stuff
great.
Like that. She's fully on board. So I definitely couldn't do it without her right now. She's kind of fully engulfed into the football lifestyle, which is great.
Has she run the 40 against you yet?
No, but she probably. I would beat her now. But if I wasn't training, she probably would beat me.
Ah, because she is an athlete.
She played soccer. She's got some gas, but I think she hasn't sprinted in a while, so I think I would get her.
Okay, get out of here, because I know you're going to be late for your stuff, and I don't want you in trouble.
Go have no, a you're good time at
the combine, and it's always good to see you and catch up with you, Tyler. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, Brad.
Paul Coro joins us for a few minutes from Grand Canyon University, senior writer, television analyst, ESPN Plus. I remember Paul back in the day when he was at the Suns, and then he goes to GCU. What was that, like 2017, 2016, something like that?
Yeah, eighth year here.
Eighth year. Look at you. And you're
I know. I should have like 3 degrees by now.
I know. All right. So I want to have you on because we just haven't chopped it up around what's going on campus. And yeah, a lot of it's going to be basketball related. Some of it about the move to the Mountain West. But let's just start with men's basketball. What I have seen from games is early in the season, they missed Gabe McLaughlin. You have some guys that are trying to figure things out. You have some guys that are looking towards the NBA. Things haven't been as smooth as what I've seen in the last few years. Am I about on mark, or do you think, hey, Brad, what are you talking about?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you probably don't realize how much, like, obviously everybody knew what a great person and player Gabe McLaughlin was, but you don't realize the impact of one person, how it has little fingers everywhere once he's gone. The leadership, the glue guy, the guy that keeps the effort up, and he's doing great things in the G League now. But when you have that many top players back, you expect it to be seamless after a 30-5 season going to the second round NCAA tournament. But there were extenuating circumstances. Ty and Grant Foster thought he was gonna, you know, going to the NBA, was in the combine, ends up deciding to come back. So he ends up missing the first couple of games. Duke Brennan suffered an injury in an exhibition game. So he was out for the first few games early, including that ASU game. So, you know, they got off to a kind of a rocky start because they were practicing with a team that they didn't plan on using the entire season. And then it kind of took a little while after that to find a new team's chemistry and new parts. You know, there are a couple significant new guys in here, Makai Williams and Jacoby Coles. And Jacoby Coles is a great player, but he's a different type of four from Gabe McLaughlin. And so all those things took a while to kind of get back. And, you know, this team also is very senior laden. And so the prize is down the road, right? You're way down the road in March to try to duplicate and go further than what you did before. So the machinations of the November and December schedule felt a little different, but then they started getting rolling at the turn of the year.
How do you feel now about them? I mean, forget about what Bryce thinks. I just want to know you're sitting there, you're watching them. Is this a team rounding in the tournament form, or is it like, we'll see?
Yeah. I mean, they've had two road hiccups in conference, still the same dominant home team, still have bounced back to every occasion when they do have a setback. And, but they still show that still high ceiling. The defense has been 95% really high level since mid-December. That was the first thing to turn around to get back to what Bryce Drew's teams had done for the first 4 years to get to three NCAA tournaments. They rank among the very best in the nation if you kind of start at after their Georgia-Louisiana trip in December. And then, you know, getting Tyon Grant Foster back to form. He was shooting, you know, way lower than he normally would. And since the calendar turned, he's immediately gone back to what he did last year. And if his across the board numbers were always the same contributions as last year, it kind of felt bad because you're looking at his shooting and scoring and thinking, oh, he's not doing what he did last year, but he was rebounding at a higher clip. He was blocking more shots. He was getting more steals. He was still being that high energy multi-tool player. And then the shot started to come around in January, and, you know, Bryce Drew brought him off the bench for a while to get him going. And, you know, since their last loss, he went back in and they've gotten going again.
Has he, what's the right term I'm looking for? When he decided to not go into the NBA draft, has he closed off the holes that may have been out there this season, or is it still to be determined? I guess what I'm wondering is, in the long run, we won't know where he would have been drafted. Do we have an idea, Paul, last year if he would have come out? And do you think he'll go higher or about the same? Has it been worth it for him to stick around?
Yeah, I think one of the things that he would tell you, too, that he wanted to show this year is that he could be a playmaker. Everybody knew you could get him in a one-on-one situation. And at 6'7", with his shot and his driving ability and length and athleticism, he could get to the rim and draw fouls as well as anybody in the nation. I mean, Jay Billis put him on preseason on All-America. That's how highly he was regarded. So one thing he wanted to do is to be able to show he's more of a passer than what people saw last year, because he was counted on so much to carry the offense at times. And he's done a better job of that. He's not a point guard, but he can whip some passes that a lot of guys can't, just at his size and the way he has his long arms. He can do skip passes, wraparounds down under the rim. And he's been a willing playmaker too.
Paul Cora with us for a few minutes as we talk about what's going on campus at Grand Canyon University, senior writer, broadcast, part of the GCU broadcast team. And he does so much more that isn't even within a title. I think I'm going to give you the Cotton Fitzsimmons title. Remember that one? Senior executive vice president of nothing.
Of nothing.
Yeah. I'm going to give you that one.
And loving, Cotton.
Yeah. In a loving sort of way. Bryce's name has popped up on some lists nationally, most notably Indiana for their coaching opening. Is this just something that happens every year because he's in a one bid league, or do you think he's at a point where that he's just going to be pursued for bigger jobs?
I mean, it's a natural conversation, right? And it's flattering, and not everybody understands what he has here and what he values here. You know, he's been there, done that a little bit, you know, after going to Vanderbilt. He's in a major market here with incredible resources at GCU. The futures in the Mountain West will change the landscape of the program going there, and to already have done what he did, you know, in the WAC and trying to get to the fourth tournament in 5 years, and you know, taking that step forward last year to be get an NCAA tournament win. I think, you know, I can't speak for Bryce Drew, but he certainly feels like he has the resources, market, you know, staff and everything here to achieve and be a national program. And they don't ever sell themselves short as far as like potential of what the program could do here because of, you know, mid-major labels or what have you.
Yeah, President Mueller, you've heard this, but I remember walking campus with him back in like 2009, and he gave the We Can Be Gonzaga. We're sitting here in 2025. Are they Gonzaga?
I mean, that's the goal, but like that's, you know, that's a crazy, not a crazy standard, but a crazy ask to be already be there, you know, like for a program that's been in Division I postseason eligible for a decade. You know, that's they've achieved things that nobody else does in that first decade of postseason, but they're trending that way, right? Like we're about to be, you know, on the same conference before Gonzaga bounced and GCU pivoted to the Mountain West. So, you know, that's a model. And I think there's a lot of good models out there. Gonzaga gets brought up a lot, but, you know, Creighton's a great model for it as well. You know, private schools being in, you know, decent sized cities and markets and what can be done at a non-football school, you know, GCU emphasizes basketball and, you know, that translates into a student body experience as well, like no other in the nation.
No, that's right. The Mountain West, you alluded to it a little bit earlier, dive down a little deeper on what going into the Mountain West means, because it could have been the West Coast and pivoted. I think there's going to still be movement in the next 10 years. I think when you and I are long gone, there's going to be movement just the way college athletics is going. What does the Mountain West mean for the fan who's like, oh, okay, what's the big deal?
I mean, right now, what is Mountain West? I think it's sixth ranked conference in the country right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, WAC is 12, which is pretty good among 26 conferences, I believe. But, you know, six obviously puts you up in another echelon that it's just a loaded conference with, you know, brand names. You know, you see what it's like in here every game, you know, no matter who they play. Now you know, the nights where you were here the night they beat San Diego State here, it yep. was electric, you know, because San Diego State was here. That will happen more regularly with conference games and the brand names that would be coming through. And, it, you know, then now you're getting into a conversation where it helps your net. Should you not win NAQ out of the conference tournament, you're still a team that can get to the tournament another way. Whereas right now, the Lopes prospects are totally relying on 1 week in March and coming through that week.
You ever been to Laramie?
Yes, actually, they played a non-conference game there 2 years ago, dead of winter.
Yep.
Did not know where the plane was coming down, and all of a sudden there was a Laramie, and it's a great building. You know, they remind you how high you are, just like when you go to like Denver or Flagstaff, they got the markings all over the place about elevation. But the most interesting part was the night before downtown Laramie, they were having a Christmas parade, and it was all the locals basically with Christmas lights on flatbed trucks and school buses and people in lawn chairs out in 12 degrees watching it go by. It was pretty incredible.
Yeah, no. When I did San Diego State play-by-play and going to Laramie, it was always, we'd always get a Friday night ESPN game and everybody's hammered. It was a late night game.
Laramie.
Oh my gosh. But then you go to the pit and they have the sign that points you straight down, which is even better. And I've had more than one occasion where the Lobo mascot would grab my crowd microphone and scream expletives into it, and there's nothing I can do. So it's a fun travel conference for sure.
And great traditions in those schools. Yes, I mean, those schools, they're deep traditions. And then whether they are down for a year or two, they always resurface with strong programs. Look what Patino's doing with the Lobos right now.
Right. Paul Kaur with us from Grand Canyon. All right, Molly Miller. Molly Miller has got a program that has already taken down the teams within our state. Molly Miller is a name that is out there in terms of somebody that is going to get pursued. What is going on with the women's basketball team? And Paul, do they have enough to make a real push in March?
I mean, this team is built different. I mean, she's always had really strong teams every year here. This one obviously is her best chance to win the WAC tournament. They are senior laden. Seniors, fifth years, graduates. And of course, you get incredible buy-in when you have those type of people. But she has got, she's got the returning people who are embedded in her system to get across. Tierra Brown is in her fifth year here because of COVID. And so she's knocking down career record after career record. And she's the ultimate example of a team player because she doesn't need the ball to make differences in game. She gets rebounds, steals, everything else. She was Molly Miller's first recruit. Her only other offer was Eastern Washington. And wow, now she's the linchpin of this team. And, you know, they have, you know, Laura Erickstrup's become a WAC Player of the Year candidate. Trinity San Antonio was a preseason one. Alyssa Durazo Frescas is a UNLV transfer who makes the most threes per game in the nation. She's just like automatic. It's a fun team to watch because they still are predicated very much on defensive pressure, but 22 wins in a row, 22 right. wins in a row is the most in the nation. Incredible no matter who you're playing. And, you know, they're just running the WAC right now. They've been tested on the road a few times where they got down double digits, still come back. The team just believes they can win every game. And Molly Miller, her staff have done a great job with this team to get them to that plateau or not plateau. They're still rising. Right. But right. To answer your question about, they're a team that would give people trouble because they've got all the parts. They're not predicated on a player getting them 30. They have multiple weapons and they play the type of defense that can bother people.
What about Molly nationally though, Paul?
Oh yeah. I mean, obviously she's going to be a figure. I mean, you can't win with the type of dominance that she has and not draw interest. And, you know, that's already happened in the past, and but she's been committed to here thus far. And, you know, she's kind of turned around and put a brand on this program that's different. And she has the same benefits as Bryce Drew about a future in a better conference and resources here.
It's good stuff. I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Brad. Great to see you.
There is Paul Coro. Make sure you check out what goes on Paul's stuff over at GCU. Or Lopes, is it Lopes.com, Paul? What's the best place to find your content?
GCULopes.com. And all the GCU socials are great. Our social media are fantastic.
And listen to him over on 1580 The Fanatic when they do games. And we're back with more after this timeout.